We will discuss today something very interesting and really very, I think, still very relevant in terms of the instincts that we have when we make mistakes and how we, unfortunately, sometimes tend to deal with our disappointments and our mistakes. And the muster that Cain is trying to be given, and hopefully, we know, unfortunately, that he does not take it so well, but hopefully we can at least learn the lesson. Where we left off last time was, of course, the two karbonos that were brought respectively by Cain and Hevel, and the fact that Hashem very noticeably prefers Hevel's over Cain's. We detected that there were, seems to be two reasons for that. One was that Cain brought the best fruits, Hevel brought the best of his produce, and secondly, the possessive conjugation, that he brought it from him, from something that he had worked on, as opposed to Cain, who perhaps might have just grabbed something that was growing anywhere and brought it. And it's clear, we know that Hashem not only is the narrator, so to speak, of the Torah speaking, we know that Hashem preferred Hevel's gift. Moreover, we know that Cain knew this, because as the end of Pasuk Hey told us, he was angry, and he was embarrassed, or his countenance fell. So in that vein, let us pick up with what I think will be just the two psukim that we'll do. I don't think we can get the pasuk ches, where it's like the cliffhanger that they like to do. So we'll leave that for dramatic for next week. But Vav and Zayin themselves are interesting. Vav in its own right, and Zayin in particular, because as we'll see from Chazal's perspective, pasuk Zayin is one of the most difficult psukim in the entire Torah to understand. Pasuk Vav. Short pasuk. Yomer Hashem El Kain. There's a lot to say about it, but a short pasuk. Hashem says to Kain, again, he's seen the reaction. Loma chara alach. Why are you angry? Loma naflu panecha. And why has your countenance fell? Why do you look so sad? Hello, continues the Torah, and this is again. I'm sorry. Here we go. More than you need, probably. So the Torah continues. Hashem says, "Hello, im teitiv seis." Now, how do you translate that? Almost impossible. Almost impossible to translate. We'll see. The Mefarshim are going to make attempts, but in terms of just our own knowledge of the words, it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. "Hello, im teitiv seis." Who wants to take a stab at it? Right, but who would have guessed that?
Never.
Right? Okay. Hello, im teitiv, right? It can get better. Say something. We'll leave it as a question mark. But now we have a pivot. Im lo teitiv, and if you do not do good, or it does not get better, la pesach chatas rovetz. La pesach at the entrance, chatas rovetz, sin. The standard translation is something kind of menacing, like waiting to prowl, you know, waiting to pounce. Rovetz. I saw that Rav Hirsch does not like that connotation of rovetz. Maybe when we get back to this, you can read that for us, okay? Continuing the pasuk, again, each it's like a maze, this pasuk. The Elecha teshukaso. And to you is its desire. What's it, or its longing? Sin is being given a personality, so to speak. Sin desires you. But, I'm adding the but because they're all unintelligible, Ata Tim Shalbo, you can conquer it. So it's a windy pasuk. Now, it seems, if I were to guess, that Vav introduces Zion. Right? Hashem just kind of engages Cain and Vav. Why are you so sad? Doesn't seem to be an answer. We don't seem to have a response from Cain. So that's okay. That's what we call a rhetorical question. Alright? So, in light of that, if that's correct, then that perhaps can give us some help. Maybe we have a sheet there for you. That could give us perhaps some help as to try to understand what the rest of the pasuk is trying to say. Really quite complicated. This pasuk in particular, you will not be surprised if you take a look for a moment in the middle of your sheet, The fourth source, the Gemara in Yuma, tells us, Vatanya, the Brisi says, in the name of Isi ben Yehuda, Chamesh mikraos b'Torah ein lehem echreya. There are five psukim in the Torah which have no real clear and obvious understanding. And it gives the reason, it's interesting, the Gemara doesn't quote the full psukim, but it gives you the one word in each of the five psukim which is the cause of the problem. And what's the first example? Seis. Right? The whole pasuk pivots around that word and we don't know what it means. The Gemara says, now we'll see, the Mefarshim think they do know. Or at least attempt. But the Gemara itself says this is just unexplainable. We don't know what the whole pasuk means because we don't know what this one particular word means. So that's how difficult it is. And again, it's hard to, you know, to me, it's not just that the whole pasuk hinges on that word. I think pasuk vav hinges on that too because pasuk vav seems to be introducing pasuk zayin. So let's go to the top of our sheet and take every point one by one. So the Radak, I think, makes the point earliest. I think there's a theme that a number of the Mefarshim pick up on. I think they all, a lot of them make the same point in different ways, each picking up on different parts of these two psukim. And the one who picks up on it right away, or who makes the first stab at it, is the Radak, because he makes it on the opening words, the most benign words, of Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Hashem El Kayin. Hashem speaks to Kayin. What does the Radak say? Haya Hadibur Imo. Hadibur here with the capital Dalet. The Dibur meaning Hashem was speaking to him. Kedei Yasro, to kind of inculcate him or to prevent him, to get him back onto the straight and narrow. Ul Hashiva Lamutav, right, to get him off, right? He made a terrible mistake. It's not just that Hevel's carbon was chosen. As we saw from the other Mefarshim last week, his was Derech Bizaya, there was something wrong in what he did. Hashem, like a good parent, talks to him to tell him what he did wrong. And not only to tell him what he did wrong, what's a good parent to do after that? Tell him what he should do, how he can correct it, what to do next. Ulilamdo derech teshuva. To teach him tshuva. Lo, for his sake, uledoras haboyim, for all future generations. Ki achote yesh lo kapara. There's nothing that can't be forgiven. Hope is not lost. Anything can be undone. Anything can be gotten for atonement for. Im yashuv b'teshuva shalema. If we do teshuva shalema. Now it's interesting, and the reason that he picks up on this, and we'll see the other Mefarshim do as well, is this is the first introduction we have to the concept. That was striking, and I have not seen Mefarshim deal with it, so I only have my thoughts, and I'm happy to hear yours. This is only the first time the Torah mentions it. It's not the first time it could have mentioned it. Well, we don't have any of this discussion in the Torah or in the Mefarshim, Adam and Chava. Why do you think? I have not seen, I'm not saying no one addresses this, maybe they do, I haven't seen it.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The Radak's point, which we'll see momentarily, of Mefarshim pick up on in this story, is that the focus of Hashem here is not so much on punishing Kayin. The only punishment would have been that his carbon wasn't accepted. He could have left it at that from a punishment perspective. Hashem is engaging in him to teach him about the power of tshuva and the possibility of tshuva. So my point is that whatever Kayin's chait was, it wasn't worse than Chava's, and it wasn't worse than Adam's. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm pointing out. But even though the Radak, Ein Adavar Omen Bifnei Tshuva, Kain's being told, you know, lift up your chin, right? Again, just to flesh out the point. What do you see from the Radak? And again, we'll see this from the Mefarshim. Why was Kain so depressed? Because he thought that it was undoable. He made this mistake. He's being chosen. He's being skipped over now for his other brother, perhaps younger brother. The one who went second, he took the initiative. We'll see that Barbanel points that out. And yet, the second brother gets chosen, and he thinks he's on a one-way train. He can never get off. Can't unring the bell. Hashem says, yeah, because how should he have known? How should he have known that he could do it? After all, depending on what we saw 2 weeks ago, whether he was born in the Gan or out of the Gan, the Machlokas Rashi Ramban, but presumably he knows certain secrets he can't keep. So I would guess, I have no hechreya to say it, but I would guess that even if he was born, as the sequence of the psukim indicates, and as Rashi says, that he was born outside the gun, he knew what happened to his parents. So he knows if you cross Hashem's line, all right, you're out. So he's depressed. So comes along the Radak and says, don't be so depressed. You have a chance. There's tshuva, there's kapara. Beautiful. And we will see this as a theme, I hope, for the rest of tonight's shiur. I'm just wondering, how come Adam and Chava didn't get such a lifeline? Yeah. That's interesting. So you're saying in theory, Adam and Chava could have merited it.
Right, but they didn't respond in the same way.
I don't know, when they ran away, when they were hiding, is that not the same thing? They're embarrassed because of their nakedness.
But they weren't embarrassed about
sin.
Fruit.
It was a result. It was a result.
They lied about
and each one blames it on the next. Okay, very interesting. I'm not aware of any Mefarish who makes that point. That doesn't mean that no one does, and even if no one does, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It's very creative, very original. Okay, good. Anyone else have any other suggestions? Yeah.
And also maybe specifically, even though it points out that it wasn't just that Hevel won, you know, Hevel was chosen, but maybe Kayan feels that, you know, he's not upset just that his wasn't chosen, but that he feels like he's lost. You know, that can be a very
right.
strong motive.
What is it so called? What do we call that?
Yeah, he has.
What do we call that?
Yosh.
Bad. I think. Oh, no.
Sore loser.
Or sibling, sore loser, I almost close.
Sibling rivalry.
In other words, it's not just that.
So it's sort of a unique.
Right. Yeah, Barbanel picks up a little bit on that point. Anyone else? I had something that probably not as creative as either of you. I think maybe Gene said it before. What did you say? Or Alan, somebody said.
Right,
I would have thought, this is my own thought, is that the Gan, as much as it was a microcosm for lots of things which are relevant to us, there were certainly many things there that were unique. It was a unique existence. And one of the things I think that was unique there is we know, again, maybe it's not so unique, to a certain extent, actually the Seel Sharm speaks about this, and actually there's a famous essay that Rav Chanan Wasserman wrote about Teshuva, where he writes about a discussion he had with the Chavetz Chaim. Not to digress too much, but without getting into the details of the Mefarshim and the Gemaras that they're wrestling with, they were contemporaries, and the Chavetz Chaim and the Rav Chanan Wasserman have this discussion. And what emerges, the point which I think is a very powerful one, is that to a large extent there's two aspects of sin. There's the fact that you've rebelled, qua rebellion, Batoris rebellion, and that doesn't matter if you did it. You stole, you killed, you ate on, you know, Yom Kippur. Either way, Hashem told you one thing and you did another. That's a rebellion. Hashem told Adam and Chava not to eat, and they ate. But there's a second thing, a second aspect of it, which is independent of that, which is that sin is like a contaminant. It contaminates the soul. So whether or not one gets punished because of the rebellion, there may still be a metzius, a reality of the contaminant. In my mind, and I once said a shir about this, it was going back almost 10 years, so I don't remember if it was my own mashal, or if it was in already the Rav Chanan Wasserman essay, I don't remember. But I remember in my mind, as I'm thinking about it now, the way I gave it over, maybe again it could have been from Rav Chanan himself, was I imagined that, you know, so to speak, we have an image in a lot of Chazal about, you know, or popular at least, of, you know, kind of the Shekhinah represents some kind of a light. So each time we do an Aveira, it's like building, it's another brick in a wall that blocks us, that separates from the light. Right? There's a mitzvah there. It's not a question just of a mistake. Again, in a different context, the Mesher Chachma talks about drinking poison. We may, right, if a little baby drinks a poison, right, goes into the bathroom and drinks something from under the sink, not upset at him, he didn't do rebellion, he wanted to rebel. But that's not going to make him any better. He's still going to have to pump his stomach. And hopefully in time. Right? So there's a certain metzias and reality. So I would suggest, this is my own speculation, I guess this is what you guys refer to, I think that there was something uniquely powerful and unrecoverable from about the metzias. Not, again, from the perspective of punishment or rebellion. Again, I don't know of any sources that talk about it. It doesn't mean there aren't, but I don't know of any offhand. But to me, it's totally possible that Adam and Chava, either whether they ever did tshuva for it, they certainly could have done tshuva for it. but it wouldn't have gotten it back into the gun. That was a one-shot deal. Hashem thought the world would go one way, and it became impossible once he saw the human frailty. And there was something powerful and visceral and real about that Eitz HaDaas. Once they ate it, everything changed. And you can't take it back. Just like if you consume something you can't, you're not supposed to. Even if we're not, even if you were to say you're sorry, okay, but I still have to rush you to the hospital and pump your stomach. So that would be my suggestion, that perhaps from a perspective of sin and punishment, if we focus on the P, punishment, so why should Adam Rechav have been any different than anyone else in human history? But from the perspective of, and I think theoretically, maybe they did tshuva, I don't know, and if they didn't, they certainly could have. But from the perspective of punishment, from that metzias, so there, what Cain did was like the rest of the sins that you and I could do. It was undoable, not only from a punishment perspective, but even that metzias is undone. Again, in that metaphor, each time you do an aver, maybe there's a brick, but okay, you also have the sledgehammer, you can knock out the brick. That's part of the magic of tshuva. It's not just you're not going to get punished, but it can get you back as good or, we know, even better, perhaps, than you were before. Yeah.
I think it's interesting. I think the concept here is to tell us what teshuva really is, because Cain and Hevel were not commanded to do it. He didn't violate any commandment.
Right.
He did something on his own that was not nice in the eyes of God. So the issue is that his character, he had a character flaw at this point because of what he had done. So
right.
The issue is, when you do teshuva, it's to change your whole mahus, your whole character.
Okay, good.
Because there was nothing that, what did he violate? That he had to do teshuva for. It was an attitude for which he had to do teshuva.
Right.
It
okay. Was his, interesting. Okay.
His psychological makeup at that point.
Good. Something that's a little more radical.
Sure. Let's have a look here. You said it, not me.
Well, it may come out the wrong way, but God's first approach obviously doesn't work so well. It's just as a yekka, whatever. And like we said, the first way they didn't fess up, and whatever. So when it's the next time around, God has
his new. He has to deal with them differently.
Work the way I did the first time.
He has to deal with them differently.
Let me try. And
I don't think that.
Before the terrible episode occurs, like Gene just said, it wasn't a sin that was occurred right now. But it was coming, and here God's trying to make an intervention before that happens.
Yes, that's for sure, as we'll see in the next pasuk.
That's
not a bad idea. I just want you to know, it's like one of those things the Gemara says in another context. If it hadn't been said, we couldn't have said it. So about what you just said, I might have said the same thing, because of the fact that we know that there are many midrashim about the fact that they speak about Hashem, not just this world, Bari Olamo Sumachrivan. Hashem had all sorts of what we call in today's parlance, mulligans. Kind of Hashem's looking for do-overs. He tried with this world, he tried with this world, he tried with that world. So we have such a notion in Chazal, and there's no question, in this year it might take us another 5 years, I don't know, but when we'll get to it, at least for Kriyas HaTorah by next year, in the fall, not even next year, in the fall, right, with Lech Lecha, I've spoken about this in the past, like on Shabbos, Lech Lecha was a major pivot. Not only did Hashem first try with the Gan Eden model, even after Gan Eden, Hashem thought, okay, but now I can't just have what Adam and Chava were trying to do. I need to pick a chosen person. It's not going to be enough that I'm going to say the whole world will be my children. I'm going to have to pick a chosen person and a chosen family. And even that has bumps along the road until you get to the Shvatim. So I don't think, I think that's possible. I think it's very possible. Let's take a look at the Sforno, the second source on your sheet. He also, again, adding another dimension, another flavor to this. What did Hashem actually say to Cain now? After the first words in the opening of Pasuk Vav, what's the first thing Hashem actually says? Rabbi Yomer is the narrator talking. What does Hashem actually say? Where do you put the quote marks? Lo machar lach. Why are you so upset? So says the Sforno, what is Hashem asking him? Lama kinesa achicha. Achicha. Why are you jealous of your brother? The sibling rivalry we spoke about. Kidoeg al shekibalti karbano baratzon. Why was he upset, Cain? Not because you didn't take mine, but because you did take Hevel's. There's such profound truth and relevance to this, and we'll see some other makaros that just jumped off the page to me when I was learning them to prepare this year. This is so. It's certainly true when we have siblings in a house, but it could be true about adults and also the context. Right? We're always. It's the opposite of the Sameach B'Chalko. We're always looking at somebody else, right? If Hashem accepts me, he doesn't accept me, I can live with it. But he accepted him? No way! Says the Sforno, continuing. So Hashem says to Cain, Hine lohaya zeh ratzon pashut, which is what we would translate ratzon pashut as arbitrary. It wasn't an arbitrary decision, or I would say an equivalent to that meaning. I wasn't just playing favorites that I picked Hevel, or Shalokidin, or some, no one bribed me. Rather, continuing in the pasuk, v'lam al naflu panecha, why are you depressed? Kishiyesh lekilkul eza takara. If it would have been I like him better or it's arbitrary, then there's nothing you can do about it. But as we saw from the Radak before, the whole musr of these two psukim is, it's fixable. You can do something about it. Don't mope. Don't go run to your bed and cry. Don't just complain. Do something about it. Ein roi litzdayar mashavar. This mom is like a self-help. You could this is like a thing you'd read, you'd pick up in Barnes and Noble, right? What you can't fix, don't worry about. But what you can fix, so then fix. Don't run around and cry about it. It's not like there's nothing you could do, and then I can say, okay, I'm sad that it's there's nothing I can do about it. I'm forever going to be second fiddle. No, you can do something about it. Royal ishtadil lahasik tikun lasid. Mamish self-help. Self-help. Self-help from the Sforno. Yeah, right. Or whoever the new incarnation is, exactly. Now there's 100 books published a month in that vein, right? That's exactly what the Sforno says. So he's two chidushim. One is that it was a jealousy issue, and it had to do with the sibling rivalry. And number two is, Hashem again is telling him, I picked him because he did a better job, either because he gave better things, or because he took ownership over it, which we saw last week. So learn from that. You'll do better next time. Abarbanel, also, in this vein, but in his own way, I don't think I gave you the whole Abarbanel. It's a long Abarbanel. But his point, I think, in the preceding parts of this is that, really, to turn a little bit of the story on its head, which we know the Abarbanel is always an independent thinker, the Abarbanel basically says that, if you think about it for a moment, and I don't think it struck us last week, who was the bigger Zariz? I didn't use that word last week. Kain was the bigger Zariz. Who gave the carbon first? Not only that. I didn't think of it. I didn't think of it either. Don't worry. I also didn't think of it. Guess what? More than that. But not just who went first. How much time does it take between making the decision and the giving if you're a farmer and you're shearing the sheep of your animal? Right? It's not just that Cain gave his product first. If you assume, by the way, unlike what we mentioned on Chabalebowitz last week, that he just picked something that was growing wildly. Let's assume that he gave something that he grew. The Abarbanel, I think, is working with that assumption. He had to spend, the Abarbanel says it took about a year. A whole harvest. He had to plant something with the thought of giving it to Hashem, right? The Pasuk tells us in the third parak, how much it's going to be hard, coats for dar-dar. It's going to be hard to plant in the new world. So Hevel, Cain thought about this for a year, and then he went and gave it, and says, Abarbanel, Hevel saw, Taka, good idea. I should give a present to Hashem. I don't have any plants. I don't have any fruit, but I have an animal. Okay, I'll shear this wool. I'll bring the milk. So, in light of that, we talk about civil rivalry. So the Abarbanel, that adds a whole other layer to it. His mom is being one-upped by his brother for something that really he should be getting credit for. I mean, you could just imagine how real this is. I think of the myriad of circumstances where this is relevant. Right? And you're thinking, what do you mean? It's my good idea. But I had the idea first. I've been struggling for a year. So in light of that, Abarbanel continues. In responding to that, Ulechein Ochichu Hashem, and that's what Hashem was responding to, Lama Charalach. Namely, Ratzalomar, Machash Macha, you think, Shehevel Hu Agoreim, right? What is the instinct that we do? Like the Sforno says, we blame the other one. Oh, he was just trying to show me up. He's projecting. Lama Naflu Panecha. I'm not sure what the Ayin Sadik means. Who knows? I Mamash, I don't know what that abbreviation is. Al-Hasad? Yeah, I thought Al-Atzad. That's the only idea I can come up with. There's so many other abbreviations that would have been smoother, so I'm not sure why the Abarbanel chose that one, but okay. Hakina. Because he's jealous of Hevel, he's blaming him. Mamish, again, the way it's the Yetzer Hara, it works today the same way it worked then. We're all, it's human nature. She'ein ha'inyin kasher dimiso. Says Hashem to Cain, it's not what you thought. She'inei. Im teitiv mitaratzocha. Because if you'll do better, if you'll do good on your own, you'll have no reason to be embarrassed. On the contrary, you'll be able to lift up your face. Now,
then no one will be able to bring you down. No gift by anybody else will take away from the luster and the good of what you're doing. Like you think Hevel did. No, Hevel was preferred because Hevel did a better job. But if you'll do a good job, then there's nothing that Hevel or anyone else could do which would take away what you deserve. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then, says the Abarbanel, he continues, what's the Kavana? Shlo haya Hevel. Again, he's reiterating the point to Cain. You know, which is important anyway as a teacher or a leader. We've got to reiterate the point sometimes. Lo haya Hevel min chaso siba. Shlo kubla min chaso shal Cain. It's nothing to do with Hevel, and it's nothing to do with his carbon. That is not why yours was not accepted. Ella shehib atzma l'haisa ruya l'haguna l'hiskavel. It was deficient in its own right. Yes, it looked bad because Hevel's came next and it was accepted. But that's not why yours wasn't accepted. That's not why Hashem was upset at him. Hashem was upset at him because he did something derech b'zayin he shouldn't have done in its right. Okay? So again, the human nature here, if you got jealousy, but again, sibling rivalry, projection, blaming our mistakes on other people. And to all of this, Hashem is trying to fight through this fog and tell him, you know what, the hardest thing to do in life is to admit you made a mistake, not to blame it on anybody else, and correct it in the future. Now, we mentioned already that that's really all that's jam-packed to that Pasuk Vav, which seems like just an introductory Pasuk. Unfortunately, we find all these jewels there. Now, again, there's no question that they were interpreting it in light of Pasuk Zayin, but still, nevertheless, it's fascinating. Pasuk Zayin itself, as we said, is very, very difficult. Gemara Numa makes the astounding statement. It's one of the five most cryptic statements in all of the Torah. We don't know what the word Se'es means. So let's see. Right? That's like, you know, caution before entering. But some of the Farshim enter anyway. Look at Rashi, which I think is, if I'm not mistaken, based on Unculus. Which one did I want? I'm sorry, one second. I think I wanted Rashi. Yes, so what is... who has the Targum in the Chumash? Right, what is the Targum? One second, I'm sorry. Yes, exactly. Yishtabak lach, which means you will be forgiven. Yishtabak, thank you. Thank you, Alan. Right. Yes, yishtabak lach. Hello, imitative ovadach. Is it not true that if you improve your actions, yishtavek lach, it will be forgiven for you? And that is what, thank you. And that is, I meant to, I should have put that on the sheet, I'm sorry. That is the Rashi pshat. And in fact, if you take a look, this is why I forgot, because the other Mepharshim actually make it more succinct. They attributed always to Rashi, some of the later Mepharshim. And I was so used to that I didn't bother to double check to see if Rashi actually said it. Rashi hints at it, but it really comes from the Targum. And Ibn Ezra, for example, and others also allude to it as the opinion. Take a look at what Ibn Ezra says. Appears Se'es, Al-Das, Mepharshim, Rabin, many Mepharshim say, Se'es, Avonecha. Right? Your sin will be forgiven, as the Targum said, as Rashi now alludes to. However... a little bit different, one second. Yeah, but yeah, not bad. A lot of psukim are quoted to try to figure this out. Different conjugations of the word. Comes along the Ibn Ezra himself and says a different pshat. Not your sin will be forgiven, right? Not that I'm going to give you spiritual counseling. Hanachon ve'enai se'es hanim. I will give you psychological counseling. I'll lift your depression. I can make you happy and confident again. After all, says Ibn Ezra, Araya, proof. Because you have to read the Pasuk in continuation. Kikosa b'tchila v'yuplupanav. The Pasuk starts talking about he's depressed. Zed derech busha. He was ashamed. And then he quotes a similar context where the same conjugation of the word is used in Shmuel Beis, where it also says Ibn Ezra has that connotation. The ta'amo Himasisa tov, and what's the upshot of it? If you'll do good, tisa panecha, you'll feel better about yourself. Which again, mamish is right out of the self-help world, you know, in the serious sense, that, you know, if you just think I'm going to get out of this depression by, you know, wallowing,
that's not going to work. You got to get back up on your feet and do it again, but do it right. And when you do it right, and you know you're doing it right, you'll feel better about yourself. Right? Don't project. Right? The answer, right? I'm Amish. I sound like I'm one of these guys on an infomercial. I should get paid like one. But what's his name? The guy. He's very tall. He's Amish. He made out. He's almost like a billionaire almost now from all these seminars that he gives. Right? Tony Robbins. There you go. I'm not nearly as tall as him. Okay. The answer is, what is Eben Ezra saying? You're depressed, and again, in light of especially the Radak, the Sforno, the Barbanel, what's the solution to your depression? Not outside, not somewhere else, not with your brother. It's inside you. It's something you can control. Because we know the power of tshuva gives you a second chance. Do better, and not only will you be doing right, you will feel better. Your countenance, your spirits will be lifted. So whereas Rashi and the other Mefarshim look at it in a more limited religious or theological sense, don't worry, you can get forgiven. Eben Ezra assumes that, but he says Pshat and Pasuk is talking about another, I don't want to call it a deeper, but another dimension. Another, if you will, of the concentric circles, which is not just that you're doing right or wrong, but that you feel better when you do right. And that is the solution to your problem. And it's within you. You don't have to look anywhere else. Yes, I think you have a question.
From the Pesukim, do we really know why Hashem or why Kayin is so upset? Or
well, from the Pesukim, we know why he's upset, because Hashem preferred
Pavel's.
Right, do we know from the Pesukim themselves what was so bad about?
Right.
No. We mentioned that last week. Okay. It's not clear. We saw the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim, you know, used the term, I can't remember which specific Mefarsh used it, because this was the spirit of, I think, the whole group, but the specific language, which is still remnant in my mind from a week ago, which is a miracle, is Derech Bizayon, right? That there was something not impressive. You know, better not to do anything than to do something Derech Bizayon, to do something in a disgraceful, disrespectful way.
Not separate. In Yanima, isn't the definition of the Tshuva Shleima where a person is put back in the
right
same situation he was before and then
yes,
he does it right?
Right.
So okay.
That's what Eben Ezra is telling him. Yeah, you will have that chance.
It's kind of a theological. It's not just purely psychological.
No. Rashi is purely theological.
Yes.
And Eben Ezra is adding
the prescription for it.
And Eben Ezra is adding that there is exactly.
It is psychological.
Yes, Eben Ezra is assuming that you're right. It's not just psychological. Eben Ezra is saying, but you want to know what the key to psychological self-help is? I'm not trying to make light. I know that we know that things that can be very complicated, and there are many remedies to help people who have these issues. But at least in certain cases, and I think there's a certain truth to this, and I think good psychologists do use this. They don't just talk, and they don't just prescribe sometimes medicine. Sometimes the answer lies not from without, but within. Sometimes if you do things, if you take control of your life in an active way, instead of just looking passively for some other solution, that itself can be not only a good thing, but can also be the source of the lifting of the malaise. And that's how the Abarbanel, the Eben Ezra.
Actually, that explains why Adon and Chava couldn't have done Tshuva Shleima, because they could not have come back to the same situation.
Good, because of the point we made, which is that was a one-shot deal. The Metzius there was unique. Good, that's exactly what we said. Yeah, Ramban has a third shot. Ramban, as he so often does, first quotes Rashi, then quotes the Eben Ezra, and then, if you skip to the third line, has his own idea. Aldati, says the Ramban, Im teitiv yelcha yeser se'es al achicha. In other words, very fascinating to me, in light especially of the Abarbanel and the Sforno, the Ramban is also assuming that there's some sibling rivalry here. But sometimes it's a dangerous thing, but sometimes we ourselves sometimes might do this, where you say to the child, you don't fight him on that. You meet him Bashir Husham. You say, you can be better than your brother. You're the Bachar, says the Ramban. When Hashem goes to Cain and says, lift up your face, all is not lost, he doesn't just mean it in some theoretical sense. He's Davka, the Ramban says, Hashem is talking to him vis-a-vis his brother. Ki ataha Bachar. Not only is all not lost, you can reclaim your rightful place as the leader. Zahatam, and that's the pasuk. He goes through the pasuk now. Lo macharalach, why are you upset?
Kiva Bushaso me achiv naflu panav. He was embarrassed, he was shamed by his younger brother. Ubikinaso me menu hargo, which we will obviously see, unfortunately, next week's tragedy. Right? Because of that shame and because of that jealousy, that led to the mistaken behavior. Vehine Amr Lo, Hashem says in Lamar Chavarlach, Alachicha, Lomalafu Panacha Mimenu, why are you upset, why are you jealous, embarrassed? Hello, continuing in the next pasuk, Im Teitiv, however, if you'll do better, Yelacha Yeser Seis Alachicha, you'll have an even better situation than your brother. Im Lo Teitiv, but if you don't do better, Lo Imo Bilvad, Tavuacha Ra, not only will you be bad vis-a-vis him, Kila Pesach Beisecha, but sin will be crouching by your door, meaning you'll have problems for your own, on your own right. Forget your brother. You'll always have problems. If you don't do it the right way, now in the short term, you're going to look bad clap at your brother. But forget your brother, right? He's going to move out, he's going to go to college, he's going to move off to Arizona and get a good job. But what are you going to do? You're still making the same excuses. You're still doing the wrong thing, then there'll always be a problem for you. Let me just finish the Ramban. And towards you, it has a desire. The sin has a desire. Namely, says the Ramban, right, it's always going to be going after you, the Yitzhahara. But don't worry. If you want, we all have the power to control our Yitzhahara. You can straighten your way. You can take control over the Yetzer Hara. And what is all of this is all a fancy way of saying, says the Ramban, in summary, Haruhu ala Tshuva. He taught him about that super magical power called Tshuva. Shehi nisuna biyodo, it's given in your hands, Kayin, Lashuv b'chol eis, Shiyirtza b'yisachlo. Anytime you want, it's there for you to use this tool, and Hashem will forgive you. Do the right thing, right the ship, and then you won't have to worry about your brother or anybody else. If you don't right the right ship, then Hevel is just the first one you have to worry about. You'll have a lifetime of mistakes. Pesach, Chatas, Roveitz. Yes, Alan.
I'm wondering whether the Ramban got this meaning from in Vayechi, which says, Uvein, Choriat, Kofi, Reishis, only yes, there's an ace.
Yes, I'll tell you.
And there, it's he's the Bechor. So I'm wondering whether...
You see... I, just for the sake of space on the sheet, I gave you a little bit, almost the entire Ramban, but I did cut out a little bit with those little ellipses. I don't remember if he quotes it. He might. Does he quote it? Does Ramban quote it, or does Tosfos quote it?
Yeah, he just brings down.
But I wonder, take a look at a Ramban, maybe he does quote it. It's not in what I just gave you here, right? It's not in there. But it could be that in the actual Ramban he did, I don't remember. For the sake of space, I cut out a little bit, so it might be in the earlier part. It might not be, but it might be. It's interesting that this pasuk, and this particular phrase of L'Pesach Chatas Roveis, there's always been a great intrigue to Chazal. We saw that the whole pasuk, the Yuma, Gemara Yuma addressed, we don't really know what the beginning of it means with Seis, but the end of the pasuk about sin crouching at the door, that's a very famous metaphor. And there's two different Gemaras which really can be seen as one connected to the other, famous Gemaras that you're probably aware of, but it's just good to take a minute to look inside and see them, who address this issue. If you take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, actually, one second, give me one. Just see for a moment. Before we see the Gemara, let's just see Rashi for a moment. The second Rashi in Pasuk Zayin. Lepesach Chatas Roveitz. At the entrance, the sin is crouching. Lepesach Kivracha. Says Rashi, at the entrance of your grave. Chet Acha. Chet Acha. Shamur, your sin is waiting and preserved. In other words, how do we refer to that in Pirkei Avos? Asi litain din v'cheshbon. In other words, you may not get paid. You may not have to pay it now, right? But you don't escape it. Eventually, you'll have to pay the piper. It's waiting for you there, right? Which is a good news because again, if it's waiting for you there, that means before then, you can do tshuva. But don't think you will outrun it or escape it. It's waiting. Rashi's imagery by the grave. Take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Slightly different. Not the end of life, but the beginning of life. The Gemara has the following interesting machlekes. Amarlo Antinunus, the Rebbe. Eim asayetzer hara sholei b'adam.
when does a person start having an evil inclination? When does life get complicated? Mishas Yetzira? When the baby's in utero? Om Mishas Yetzia, the moment of birth. Amar Lo, so he responded to him, Mishas Yetzira, even in utero. Amar Lo, so Antinous responds, Im Kain, Boet, Bamei, Imo, Yotze. If you already have the Yetzirah in utero, then from the earliest moments it should be kicking and busting out the door. It seems like that would have been viewed as somehow rebellious, right? You're supposed to stay in class until 9 o'clock. I picked that number on purpose. 9 months, 9 o'clock, right? So what is the student who's rebellious? Right? He's looking to run out the door at 8 o'clock. So if you think that the baby has already Yetzirah Hara, so why is he just going to wait? Because you tell him he should wait till 9 months? A kid with Yetzirah Hara wants to get out earlier. It's more fun to play. Get out and have fun. So that doesn't happen. At least not all the time. Ella, rather, that's a proof somehow. Mishas Yetzia. It means the Enechanami, when the baby's in the womb, there is no Yetzirah Hara. It only happens at the moment of birth. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe responds, Davarzel Lamdeni Antininus. He taught me this. Umikra Mesayeo. And we can give a proof to him. As our pasuk says, LePesach Chatas Roveitz. And what's the Pesach here? Here the Pesach means outside the mother's body. The second it comes out the door, so not LePesach Kibrucha, as Rashi says, not waiting at the end of one's life. That's what to do with punishment, because it's looking at it in two different ways. Rashi is seeing this pasuk as alluding to punishment, so that happens at the end. The Gemara here is looking at it as Yetzer Hara. So says it happens at the beginning. Beginning, right? Too early is not on time, as the old German joke goes. Not too early, not b'shas yetzira, not in utero, but the first moment on time, the first moment you come out, Yetzer Hara is waiting to pounce. And this implicit assumption that the chatas roveitz is only b'pesach when you're born, therefore, what did our Gemara say? There's no Yetzer Hara in utero, that is going almost all the way to the famous Maimer Chazal, which is the next Gemara on your sheet. Which goes even further. Not only is there no Yetzer Hara in the womb, why not? You think it's just Hashem's kindness? Yetzer Hara was bored, he didn't have enough time for you when you were in utero? No, the Gemara says there's a different antidote. The Gemara says, there's a whole back and forth here, we'll just look at the first line and the last line here. Umelamdin oso kola Torah kula. The Gemara says that we teach a child, boy or girl, all of the Torah when they're in the mother's womb. And it cites a proof text for this, which I don't want to dwell on now. If you look at the second to last line after the period, the Gemara says, however, Kema Shabala Avirola, once the baby is born, Bahamalach, the Sitro Al Piv, gives them the klap and ponim, gives them a little pepper on the face, on their lips, Mushkacha Kolter Kula, and he forgets the entire Torah. So, what's implicit, so first of all, just on a simple level, this Gemara is one step above the previous Gemara in terms of the in utero, which is a slight off the topic, but it's related to our topic. In utero, the first Gemara said, no Yetzer Hara, and the Gemara just said, not only no Yetzer Hara, but you're learning Torah. I would suggest, to me, I think, I don't know if I'd call this Parshat Pshat, but I think it's compelling Pshat, that's not the best way to understand the relationship between the Gemaras. It's not that not only is there no Yetzer Hara, but there is Torah. The reason that there's no Yetzer Hara is because you're constantly involved in Torah, as Chazal say in a different context. Barasi Yetzer Hara, Ubarasi Torah Tavlan. I created you with Yetzer Hara, and there's one antidote to that poison, and that's called Torah. So too, the baby is constantly involved in Torah, so there's no possibility for the Yetzer Hara. But the second the Malach gives the klap and the Torah goes away, so it's again, what's the word we spoke about at the beginning of this year? It's a mitzvah, it's a reality. Without Torah, the Yetzer Hara, you're going to be vulnerable, right? If you have a low immune system, you're going to get sick. So the Yetzer Hara comes right there. Since we're almost done, I'll take this opportunity to give you an aside and a story, which relates to this past week. I was in New York at a convention, at a conference, and part of it was, got to hear incredible shiur from Rav Herschel Schechter, and just amazed, as always, at his mastery of the most complex topics in halacha. And after the shiur, I had to ask him a very, very complicated and weighty shaila that I have been grappling with that has to do with Mesira. I'm talking now about anybody else, whether I would have the difficult responsibility of calling the police about a particular situation that I'm aware of in the community. Not a simple question. So he gave me time. I walked him to his office. And as it happens, we ended up having, I would consider it an unexpected matana. I had over an hour with him privately. One of the busiest people I know in the world, maybe. So that was Baruch Hashem. I was just, as always, amazed by his mastery of everything. And it reminded me, in light of this Gemara as well, the fact that not long ago, he was speaking at a parlor meeting on behalf of Yeshiva Shalavim. And Rabbi Kenny Hain, a very prominent shul rav from Lawrence, was introducing him. And he quoted this Gemara, and he said, however, I think there's an exception. I don't think the Malach ever hit Rav Shechter on the lip. Because he knows everything. And Rav Shechter was embarrassed, but it was still a beautiful, evil thing. On that note, I'll mention one other point, which is that Rav Shechter himself likes to mention, he says that Rav Soloveitchik's favorite, this is what he says, I don't know if Rav Soloveitchik said it was his favorite, or Rav Shechter just intuited it, or suggested it. His favorite agada in all of Shas was this Gemara Nida, which we just read. This is his favorite agada, and it's so beautiful, such an image of the baby with the malach. But then he always asks one question: so what's, if you're gonna lose all the Torah, what was the point of learning it to begin with? That's a good question. So he answered even more powerful, because what it's creating is a natural, instinctive relationship between every Jew and the Torah, such that every bit of Torah we learn, it's like learning for the second time. It's like coming home, so to speak. We're reclaiming something that we once had. We have a more natural and intimate relationship with Torah because we once had it. We lost it. Some of us remember it better than others. Some of us keep on losing it each time we learn it. But the point is, even for that, each time you see something, it has a certain level of, you relate to it differently, even if you forgot it, if you remember that you once knew it. So he said, right, so if you learn 100 times, then you'll know it better than me who only learns 70 times. So there is no guarantee that we'll all end up equal. We all start off equal. And that's that we all have got it at least once. And now we're always kind of coming back to who we really are, trying to find what was once ours, which is a different relationship to Torah than if it would be something totally foreign and towards something strange which we had to get. There's something more intimate, more personal. Okay.
Women have this thing, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. I said specifically. I said that specifically.
So do non-Jews
have it. I said that specifically. No, and maybe they learn the whole Torah too. I don't know. There's certainly no reason to assume that it's gender specific, that's for sure. Okay, let's see a little bit more and then we'll finish. Let's get Rashi. The next Rashi, the third Rashi in Pasuk Zayin, the Elecha Teshukaso, its longing is for you. What's the it? Shel Chatas, the longing of sin. Hu Yetzer Hara, this drive for us to do bad things. And it, the Yetzer Hara, Tamid Shokake, Umisave, it constantly longs and desires, Shilcha, to trip you up. So Rashi basically says that the Yetzer Hara is trying to entice you. And I think in a subtle way, but perhaps an interesting way, the Eben Ezra may have a slightly different take. The Eben Ezra says, "Be'elecha teshukaso," the last source on the sheet, "Ki ha-yetzer yashuv," your yetzer, meaning your control, "Ki ha-yetzer," the yetzer hara, "yashuv," it can be returned or can be corralled, "el mashmatcha," to your control, "biritzoncha," through your will. If you want it. And not only if you want it, you have the power to do it. In other words, you can evade sin, or even sin, I would say, will submit to you only if you desire it. In other words, what's the desire? What's the teshuka? So whereas Rashi said that the sin has this desire to get you, or it gives you desire to do averus, so the Eben Ezra, I don't know if he's necessarily disagreeing with that, but he's just playing on a different focus, which is that you're not passive. You have the power within you. You're not passive that the Yetzer Hara will throw you around like a rag doll. If you have the right teshuka, if you have the right desire, what the word he used was ritzoncha, ratzon, then you can control the Yetzer Hara. Again, it's a powerful current. Question is if you're harnessing it or it's controlling you. If we want to mention just one last point, again, in a similar vein, take a look at the last Rashi about the Zayin, Va'ata Timshel Bo, you can rule over the Yetzer Hara. Im Tirza, if you want to do it, discover a love, you can overcome.
overcome it. Again, if you just remind yourself of the last lines of our Ramban, turning back to the page, the last line of the Ramban also mentioned this, right? Atatim shalbo, imtichbos. Mamash, the same thing as Rashi here. If you want it, you can do it. This is the power of tshuva. What is implicit in all of these mafarshim, especially these Rashi's and Ramban, is a different word, which is directly connected to tshuva, and with this we'll close, and that is the notion of bechira, that every person is given the free choice and the capability. Right? Free choice, which you can't, right? Free choice, which is unrealistic, is not exactly choice. It may be free, but that's all it's worth. Right? Free choice, meaning, as we keep on stressing, and you can do it. Yesh v'chav b'koach. You can do it. You can do it right. You can do it. You can do it wrong. The Bakr of Soloveitchik pointed out, if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, right in the middle, he has his one, I believe, an only discussion, primary discussion on the notion of Bechira Chavshis. Rambam puts his discussion of Bechira Chavshis in Hilchos Tshuva. Why? Because they're an intimate connection. You cannot have Tshuva, just like you couldn't have punishment either, but there's no meaningful possibility for Tshuva if you don't assume that people have Bechira. They don't have the ability to take charge and make decisions about their own life, even if they've been going in a direction, but to, so to speak, hit stop, hit the brakes, and turn around. If you didn't believe in that, then there's nothing to talk about for tshuva. But we do believe in it, and that is the linchpin which undergirds the entire possibility, potential, and power of tshuva. And again, we see, and it highlights the tragedy, I mean that in the Greek sense of the word, the tragedy of this story as we know where it's going to end up. Because here, Kai and Mamish, not from some Ashkiach, and not from some Rav, and not from some Madricha, and an older brother and a sister. Mamish from Hashem himself is giving him this Musar Shmuz. Not in the Musar, not even in a negative way. He's giving him more Dibri Chizlik, Slobodka Musar, positive reinforcement. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you have all the potential, you can do it. Forget your brother, forget this one, forget that one. It's all in you, you have the power. He had it. The question is, how is he going to respond to this opportunity? After that, we'll pick up next week.